you, and we bless you, and we praise you. We've enjoyed praying for you today, and we're trusting those of you that are here and those that are listening that the Spirit of the Lord is going to reveal himself to you today. We love the Word, and it's so important for us to see Jesus in the Word, so get your focus on the Lord, and let's just eat up what God's saying. Very, very possible, and I hear it from people that they catch more of this when they listen to it over and over again, because this is so against what the normal world presents. This is talking about the kingdom of God and not the world we live in. And we get to operate in both kingdoms, but our allegiance needs to be the kingdom of God. We live here and operate not by the world's system, world's way. We don't have to be limited by that. We're to operate on God's ways. But since it's so different than what we've been raised in or maybe even taught, maybe we've been kind of captured by religion, sometimes we have to unlearn things. But, you know, there's a reason why Jesus taught the same principles over and over again, because it's the power of repetition and the power of emphasis. And so I just want to encourage you, take these truths and listen to them over and over again. Read, meditate, listen. Because when you hear the Word of God, I want to tell you, faith springs up out of the Word and affects our hearts. And I want to tell you, when that happens, God shows himself so special. You see Jesus, and he's going to show you what he wants you to see. He'll show you himself. He'll show you principles of what to, how to operate. He'll give you direction, and he'll give you understanding with it. That's what he does. That's what wisdom is. Amen. So let's start out with Romans 5:17. We're going to kick off. This is kind of one of the theme scriptures in this series. So I know I've covered it probably last week, but we're going to look at it again. Romans 5:17, for if because of one man's trespass, his offense, death reigned through that one. That's talking about Adam, first Adam. Much more surely, don't you love that? Wow. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, his unmerited favor. It's the grace of God. We don't earn it. It's what God provided for us. He provides us grace. So we receive grace and the free gift of righteousness. That's what his blood bought for us. He won for us the place of position in him. In Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in Christ, Scripture says over and over again. But it's a gift of righteousness, gift of rightness, putting them in right standing with himself, with the receiving the overflowing grace that we don't earn, we just practice receive. It's unmerited favor. And the gift of righteousness in the other, with these two in hand, we can reign as kings in life, in this life. Some people try to say, well, it's talking about heaven. No, no, no. We shall reign as kings in this life. Through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, and all the people said, amen. Amen. So he's given us, he has won and given us the gift of righteousness. Hey, we have access in us resurrection life. We have abundant life, and it's by grace through faith. We don't deserve it. We're saved. We get everlasting life, and everlasting life doesn't start in heaven. It starts when you receive Christ. We have forgiveness. And you know what that does? That puts us in the position of being partakers. We're partakers with Christ. Joint heirs, co-heirs, different ways, words describe it. But we're partakers with Christ. And so Ephesians 2:5-8, let's look at that. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses. You see, it's not by our works. Our works don't add up. You receive Christ. You receive his rightness. He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Now be sure and mark that. Remember that, fellowship and union, because that speaks to us today. In fellowship and in union with Christ, he gave us the very life of Christ himself. The same new life with which he quickened him, raised him from the dead. This is talking about the very power of resurrection life he has put in us. This same new life with which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve. None of us deserve it. I don't care how goody-goody you are or what all you didn't do. We don't deserve it. We're saved by His grace. We're delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation. So there's so many benefits. This is why we want to study the benefits of what all He won for us. We don't even know it all. But we want to recognize it and practice it more. But it goes like this, that He delivered you from judgment. If you've accepted Christ, the wrath of God toward your sin is done with. It's erased, it's dealt with. Is put on Christ. Okay? The judgment for your sin, the punishment of your sin, has been put on Christ. That's what the cross was. Put it on Christ. It's paid for. It's paid for. Past, present, future, it's paid for. He paid for all of it, not some of it. Okay? And He also made us partakers, which means that He won for us the birthright. When we received the new birth, He won the birthright. Okay, the inheritance for us to enjoy all that He won for us. Oh, that's so good. I'm not over it. Okay, it's so good. It's so good. But see, do you remember fellowship and union? He made us alive together in fellowship and union. See, this is your purpose. This is part of your purpose. He saved you for this. Okay, this is your purpose. I know that there's emphasis out there that... He saved you to do this and to do that. And, you know, there are works that come from faith and from walking in His righteousness because we're expressions of His love. And we serve because we love. But it's not serving to get. I'm telling you, the first priority with the Lord is fellowship. Not you being a servant or a slave or something like that or doing something. No, it's being. It's being before doing. Okay, our doing are the result of us being. But I'm telling you, it's fellowship. You know what He wants? And we covered it last year about this time. Enjoying His presence. Practicing His presence. He's well pleased when you do the main thing. See, He told Mary and Martha, He told me, you've done the main thing. By coming and letting me minister to you. Before you go minister in other ways. And Martha was real upset because it wasn't the things that she was doing that He corrected. It was what was happening on the inside of her heart. Because He told her, He said, you're troubled by many things. Do you remember that? And so it wasn't the outside serving that offended Christ or anything like that. But no, she missed out because she had it going on in here between the ears. She was a busy, busy girl. And it was also troubling her that sister wasn't helping. Not doing your share. Okay? And so she was troubled in heart. She was busy in mind. And she was missing the main thing. And the main thing is to be at His feet, fellowshipping with His heart. He designed you for fellowship. Now, I want to tell you, and I know this is Monday morning quarterbacking. But if they could have just stepped back from the scene a little bit, Martha stepped back from the scene and say, wait, this is the same Jesus that took when there was no food and no preparation and fed thousands of people. Right. Then, you know, me doing this or doing that or doing that really is not the main thing. Amen. He can do it without all my help. Yeah. Are you seeing this? And so the first thing to do was to come gather at His feet. Somebody say rest. Rest. Oh, we worked it in. But for her to come gather at His feet and rest and receive from the Master before doing. This is why I'm saying to you, one of the main things that we can do, and I emphasize this to pastors too, is that, you know what, we need to be served by the Master before we serve. Hey. I know that the mind can work up, man. Sometimes I wake up at night and it's on. Man, I'm telling you. It's cooking here. It's past the speed limit. It's going. Yeah. But I want to tell you, and this is coming future sermon. I just got to mention it. That, you know, I did a study this past week on the wardrobe of the priest. They wore linen. They wore linen because they were not supposed to sweat. No sweat. rest. It's a picture of rest. No sweat. You know, we even have modern terminology. Don't sweat it. Okay? And you know, it really hit me. I'm kind of thinking and meditating. I'm saying, well, we may not be doing, a lot of, life now. We're not real physical labor. But it hit me. Well, we're sweating here. This is where to sweat. This generation, stress. Okay? Anxiety, stress. I'm not teaching you anything. You know it's true. But I want to tell you, an important part of their wardrobe was the turban. You know what the turban was made out of? Linen. No sweat here. No sweat here. Don't sweat it between the ears. Or where I'm from, the iris. Don't sweat between the iris. But I want to tell you, that's important. It's a picture of rest. You're made for fellowship. And I want to tell you, not only did he make you alive, all right, he paid the price so that we can have free fellowship with him, but he also put us in union with him. That's our position. That's our position. He put us in the position of victory. Not by anything he did is what he did, but you have the position of victory. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together. Here it is, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus. It's not something we go down here at Love Field and get on to try to... No, no. It's not a spaceship thing. No, 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 no. This is spiritual reality. Amen. And the spiritual reality is a greater reality than this stuff that we feel and see here. Okay? This kind of reality is going to last for all eternity. The heavenly sphere. What we see here is going to burn up one day. And so I'm here to tell you, this is amazing. Just by simply being in Christ, receiving Christ, hey, we get the gift of rightness. We get the grace. He paid for everything that we need. And you know what? We have our fellowship, open fellowship with him. Anywhere, anytime, no matter what's happened, no matter if you have a good report card that day or not, you can have open fellowship with God. Nothing in this world or underneath this world, powers the air, can separate you from his love. We have open fellowship with the Lord. The curtain has been torn, okay, and he made free access to him. And so we have the gift of fellowship, and we have the gift of position, union with him. Position. And here's the position right here. Okay, very, very powerful. And he did this, the position of rest. You see, the throne room is a position of rest. I mean, when I come over here and have a seat, and I may not sit down, I might have to have help getting up. But when I sit in this, I'm not grunting to sit. It's relaxing. That's a resting. Okay? That's the picture. It's a position of rest. The union with him. Because it's by his work. It's joint seating on the throne, ruling and reigning in Christ, with Christ, by Christ. Is that beautiful? And he did this. Well, why did he do this? He did this that he might clearly demonstrate. You see that word demonstrate? Well, you need to circle that. Because that's very, very important. And to demonstrate is to prove by pointing out. To prove by pointing out. To exhibit. It's making clear beyond doubt. Is that a beautiful description? Okay. So he wants to make clear beyond doubt, or he needs to point, he wants to point out, to prove, okay, who he is by pointing us out what he's done through the ages. In other words, that counts for 2018. Not just 2018, but for eternity, millions of years to come. The immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, in his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. And so here it is. He did this so that he could demonstrate through us what he's done and what he is. Okay? And so I'm telling you, our lives are to be like living billboards. We're to present, he did this all in us, and this gifting in us, his fullness is in us, the position of heritage is in us from him. Inheritance is in us. And we're seated on the throne as the position of victory and the gift of righteousness. Well, he did all this so that we could present, he could present to the human race through us the riches of his love. Wow. Glory be to God. Wow. I'm telling you, that is just beautiful. It's like this. He did all this for us, and we're to enjoy it. But he also did it for him because he wants to enjoy us in fellowship. But he also, this is kingdom, he also did it for all the rest of the people so that we can have a living show and tell. Show and tell on this earth. Where through our life, they see the overwhelming richness of the blessing of God. The overwhelming grace, the kindness, and the goodness of God. They see that in us. Okay? And then we tell them, I didn't earn it. I didn't make it happen. I didn't work to make it so, because all religion says you got to work to make it so. If you're good enough, if you do enough, that's not gospel. Jesus said, I did it, and it's by grace. What I earned for you is unmerited favor. And here it is. I want to show the goodness of my heart, my love. My heart is for everybody. It's free grace. I want to show them how real this is through your life. Wow. It's by free grace, verse 8 says. God's unmerited favor that you're saved. That you're delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. It's by faith, not by works. It's by us saying yes and surrendering to Jesus. Yes. Accepting this. Yes, by faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It's not your own doing. It came not through your own striving. Does anybody see this? It's completely the gift of God. Wow. There's a lot to celebrate. By Christ and Christ alone. Our part's to receive the gift. And I want to tell you, the gift is for everybody. But not everybody opens it. I'm telling you, it pleases him. He paid the price, presented the gift of himself to the whole world, John 3:16 says. And if we'll but receive the gift, open the gift, say yes to God about his son Jesus, we get the benefits. That's gospel. And it's not by our works, it's by his. Hey, look at Ephesians 1:17. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, we pray this over you that are here and over you that are listening. Amen. That he grants you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insights into mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. I want to tell you what that is. That's revelation knowledge. That's revelation knowledge. We pray that you will be granted revelation knowledge. You know what that is? That you'll see Jesus. Because I want to tell you, it's not man. It's not religion. It's not a church. I want to tell you, it's Jesus. Amen. Okay? It's Jesus. And so our prayer is that you will have revelation knowledge. That you'll be granted revelation. It's a good thing to even pray over lost people. That their eyes will be open to see Jesus. See, the deep, intimate knowledge of him, that's not mental facts. That's revelation knowledge. A knowing of him, that they'll see him, that they'll see Jesus. That's why we tell you, get in the Word and see Jesus. That's what changes you. Amen. Is seeing Jesus. By having the eyes, verse 18, the eyes of your heart flooded with light. Now, I want to tell you, it's just so important. But you know, there are people that run from the light. And Scripture talks to us about this. Some people run from the light because they love darkness rather than light. But I want to tell you, anyone that will turn to Jesus, look at that word. Put your face in that word. Turn your heart toward God. I want to tell you, your heart can be flooded with light. And if your heart is flooded with light, you'll see Jesus. And you'll get revelation knowledge because the Holy Spirit makes it so. Man does not do this for you. God does this for you. And the Bible says that he's looking at the hearts, that his eyes run to and fro across this earth. And he's looking for the hearts that'll turn toward him. If you'll turn, this is why we even tell people, this sounds like a too simple a prayer, but I've even told people, okay, you're having a question whether God's real or not. Why don't you just pray this and tell him, Lord, if you're real, show me yourself.
Amen.
Now that sounds so simple. It doesn't even sound very Bible, but I want to tell you, when they turn their heart toward the Lord and ask, he takes it seriously. And he will show himself to them. Okay? It may be through a message, may be through a scripture, a testimony. It may be through someone else or something. But he loves to show himself. Okay? And so, man, this is so important here, having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know. Now, this knowing is very important. That you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you. And what this means about the hope is that you will understand and see that his desire is for you. That he desires you. I'm telling you, we come with such a condemnation mindset. Well, God wouldn't want me, because I know what I've done. No, he knew how wrong we were, because even while we were sinners, he died for us. Okay? So he wants you to see that his desire to be yours. This is to what he's called you. And he's calling you to himself. And how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. So not only will we see his hope, but we'll see all that he's won for us. Now, I want to tell you, that's a big treasure house. I wanted to talk about Haley's toy room, but I didn't get permission. Don't want me to talk about it, dude. Okay, but I'll just tell you this. There are levels of treasure. She carried me to her toy room. There are levels of treasure. Okay? Now, I want to tell you. I would assume that she would even forget what all was in there. Hey, when I saw Toys R Us going down, I thought, Haley's taking me to her room. It's rich. But I want to tell you something. There's levels of, I'm trying to tell you something. Okay, is that Jesus has paid for so much for us, and we just scratching the surface. Okay, so don't let man tell you there's not more. Because he's the God of the much more. And I want to tell you something. It's a glorious inheritance in the saints. And it's for us. Now you go to in the imagination room. You see how rich it is. How rich the glorious inheritance is. And you see Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will show you what all he has for you. And levels. We probably couldn't handle it all at once. But he shows us in levels and in parts to receive. And you practice receiving that and begin to walk in it. And guess what? There's more. He shows you another level. And it's so rich. And it's what all he paid for. And he wants you to know, receive the hope that it is for you. See, this is the big difference. This is where the hope comes in. And it's personal. It's got to be personal. Because, you know, we can be convinced, well, the Lord loves Pastor James. I know he loves Pastor James. Yes. And so he blessed Pastor James, but I'm not Pastor James.
Yeah.
You see? But I want to tell you what happens when your eyes are flooded with light is that part of what he does, that the Holy Spirit, your eyes are being open, eyes of your heart open, is that he shows you Jesus and he shows you your name, that this is for you. Now, it makes a big difference. When you become convinced and see, and the hope rises up that all this inheritance is for me, not just Pastor James, it's for me. Well, that makes a tremendous difference. So that you can know. Now, this particular know is an experiential know. So that you can experience yourself. Okay? And understand. Now, the understanding, and we see this in Proverbs, and if you're in wisdom studying on Wednesday night, you'll see it. But he gives understanding. And so he doesn't just give you the picture of what he wants to do, But understanding, he shows you how to apply it, how to appropriate it. It's one thing to know that Jesus is your peace. It's another thing to know and understand how to appropriate it. I'm telling you, this is for us. Okay? He qualified us. In the same way, this is by grace. It's not anything we earned here. This is just the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness, okay, of his blessing and of his power to cause it to be so in our life. In and for us who believe. This is for us. Are you a believer? This is for us. As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. I'm telling you, that's why we like to say that an impossible is possible, because his power makes it so. And for you to whisper to yourself, well, I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that. You're absolutely going against what the Word of God says, because he's the one that makes it so. Demonstration of his mighty strength. Look at verse 20. Which he exerted or showed through Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Here we are again, back at the heavenly places. Resurrection to the throne. But he displayed this, he showed this in Christ, so that we could know that not only did he display it through Christ, he displayed it in Christ so he could display it through us. Wow, man, that's important. And he seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. And that's the throne room. Now look at this. See what the picture of the throne is here, verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. It hit me the other day that, you know, we're fighting against some diseases and sicknesses that they didn't even have names for 100 years ago or a few years ago. But you know what? It don't matter. His name is placed above every authority and power and dominion, over every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. Now, let me just rush to say, that means 2018. Amen. Means more than that, but it also means 2018. It's a position of victory for every name that might come against you in 2018. Hallelujah. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church. And so take a look at this. This is the headship. He's the headship. So let's thank God for the headship. He's in charge. It's all about him. He's the ultimate authority. And he's put all things under his feet. And the universal and supreme head of the church. Amen. So, let me just kind of describe this to you. This is the beautiful picture that we are co-heirs. Because he's the head. It's under his feet, the authority, and here we are. He's going to exercise this authority and this power and through the church. That's why I say we get to cooperate. We get to serve joint heir even now. And this position is to be reinforced. Okay? We're to observe it, remember? We're to see it, because you're not going to do it if you don't see it. You got to see it. You need to cultivate it in your life to be so. Appropriate it, and you need to guard it. This is where I stand. And we're going to protect that. All things under his feet. Let's all say, all things under his feet.
All things under his feet.
Now, these verses describe all things. It means all things. And look at this. He's going to do it through the church. Verse 23 says, which is his body. And so there's a picture of him being the head, and we're the body of Jesus. That's why the church is called the body of Christ. Now, in order for the enemy not to disqualify you, okay, because you say, well, I probably don't attend enough, or I'm probably not, active enough or participate enough. Just stand up here with me a second here, Pastor. I'm going to use Gina, too, because she's dressed so nice today. Way to go, Gina. Let me tell you something. This Jesus is the head, and the church is the body. Now, I want to tell you something. This is true. individually, and we know this from the last series that we did, this right here, James is the body of Christ. Individually, James is the church. And so this applies to him individually. Okay, now, Miss Gina, come. All right, look here. He said where two or three are gathered. Now I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what size the church is. It doesn't matter how many are gathered. He said two or three. I want to tell you, if there's two of you together, I want to tell you, he's head manifesting through this church. Okay, now there's also another picture. Oh, y'all can have a seat. Thank you so much. There's another picture, and it's the universal body of Christ, which is includes believers all around the world. And I want to tell you, he's the head of the church and manifesting himself through the church. Individually, two or three, local churches, okay, universal church. Okay, he works for all of it because he's the head. He's the body of Christ. And look how he manifests in the body of Christ, the fullness of him. This is what he's described, that immeasurable grace and power and love and kindness, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him. It's talking about the body of Christ. This means it's talking about you. This means it's talking about us. Oh, y'all quit shouting so loud. I mean, tell you, this is good. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, who fills everything and everywhere with himself. It's expressed through the church, individually, locally, universally, the full measure of Jesus. And so don't ever think, well, it's just me. No, it's not just you. It's the fullness of the Godhead in you. I want to tell you, when I stand up in front of a group and say, there's a lot of power in here. I'm not talking about, you know, the cell phones. I'm talking about the Spirit of the living Christ in us. Okay? Wow, this is good. And he wants to express his full measure through the church. Why? He wants to demonstrate it. Why? For us to be living billboards to the world, to show the world how real he is, how loving he is, and how free it is. Amen and amen. And so this is why that we spoke about Adam guarding the garden, guarding the finished works. This is why we're encouraging you that our part is to have a throne room mindset. This is a part of the union that he's gifted us with. Okay? Not to have a defeated mindset, but a throne room mindset, a victory mindset. And we're guarding the finished works. There is a place of enforcing. All right, where there's a time where we submit and surrender to God, and that's where his rest is, by the way. We practice his rest in submitting to God. For example, scripture says, be still. Can I tell you? Be still means to don't work. Don't worry. Hey, it means to rest. Be still and recognize that he's God. Okay? As a matter of fact, I'm just going to throw this in, because this ought to excite somebody. But you know, if you'll be still and rest, the Lord said, I'll let this be my battle and not yours. Because that's just like what Jesus paid for. Okay? And so, there is a time of enforcing, but we're to enforce from rest. Okay? Our first battle is to get to rest. And there is a rest. And whatever it takes to get to that rest, get to that rest. And from the place of rest, remember the throne room, you're seated with Christ. From the throne room, you resist the trespassing of the illegal enemy, and he goes. He doesn't always go at the first word. That's where we continue to rest and continue to believe and say what Jesus said until he leaps. On some days, it's doing all that you can to stand. But I'm telling you, stand with Christ. Okay, not on your own, but stand with Christ. Rest, let it be my battle. And we're to resist the trespassing of the illegal enemy. And we speak out in faith. See, it's a big difference when we confess from wrestling versus confessing from resting. Well, that was good. I hope you got that. But we speak out of faith, see, that's the resting, to the mountain, and we tell it to leap. And the Bible says, Jesus said that when we are believing in faith, resting from victory, and tell the mountain to leave, that it'll get up and fly out of there and go swimming. And so he will flee. And you know what? It's under our feet. And understand, because of the finished works of Jesus, and that's speaking of the cross and the resurrection, we're resisting a defeated devil. Okay? You got to see him. He's a defeated devil. You're in a place of victory. He's the defeated devil. Amen?
Amen.
The prince of this world has come to naught. Jesus made a public display of all of them. And Jesus is above every principality and power and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so they're a zero. You say, well, how are they able to? Well, they lie and they deceive. It's by deception. Okay? Lie and deceive. And so our part is to have faith. And you say, well, I don't have. No, Jesus has given you enough. You have the measure of faith. He's given you more than enough faith to operate in. Faith is responding yes to God. Have a throne attitude. Okay, where we're, and I want to tell you one of the things, and I haven't got to touch on this much, but one of the things that's happening in the throne room that you see in Scripture, every time it's pictured, is that there's a whole lot of praise and thanksgiving taking place. And so I'm telling you, the atmosphere in the throne room is praise and thanksgiving. And so I want to tell you, you practice, hey, your imagination room, standing on the Word of God, resting in the Lord. You're sitting on the throne beside Jesus, and you're at the place of victory. I want to tell you what's in the atmosphere there. Should be in the atmosphere of your heart, and your spirit, soul, and body is praise and thanksgiving. In spite of what's happening around. All right? I get there sometime. I try not to, but I get there sometime where, you know, I just kind of, get a little irritated, and things are happening in an order that I don't have written down on my day to-do list. And I'm thinking about what all I didn't get done and what all's happening and about the week and especially the unknowns. And, you know, I get a little worked up sometime.
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you what Tim has to do. Same thing you have to do. I have to back up and go to the throne room.
Yeah.
And I have to rest.
Yeah.
And I have to lay my schedule at his feet. Lord, it's not my schedule, I'm yours. So Lord, I surrender even the unknown of my schedule. I want to surrender it to you. Because I want to operate out of your rest. Because out of your rest is victory. And see, out of your rest, I can walk in the flow of your spirit. The next situation that comes up with whoever or whatever it is, I want to operate by the fruit of the Spirit and the life of the Spirit. And not out of Tim, because we know what happens when we operate out of Tim. Okay? Same thing that happens when you operate out of you. We can make a mess messier. But I want to tell you to back up and receive rest and receive the peace of even the unknown. Okay? And operate out of peace instead of disturbance. There's a big difference. We're talking about the kingdom of God being displayed. Okay? And so there's a big difference there. And so there ought to be a continual atmosphere in us, around us, and about us of thanksgiving and praise. Can't go there too much. But that happens in the throne room. I wanted you to see that. And you know what? We're going to win because we're going to see it. Okay, we're going to observe it like you told Adam to do. We're going to observe it and we're going to cultivate it in our life, in our heart, in our mind. We're going to cultivate it. And you know what? Hey, we're going to apply it. We're going to apply it. And let God be God. All right? In our life, inside and outside, we want to apply it. Now, I want to show you a little picture here because I get concerned about, I minister to a number of ministers, but sometimes there's a mindset of people in the pew and they say, well, I'm not a minister. I don't have an important role. And so I just want to knock that down. Because that's not true. Okay? As a matter of fact, the Bible calls us all ministers.
Amen.
Let me say this. We're all kings and priests.
Amen.
We're all servants of the Lord. Some of us have different roles, but that doesn't mean that your role is not important.
Amen.
Because it's very, very important. It may be behind the scenes or no scenes, but it's very, very important. You say, well, I don't do anything. Hey, it's not in your doing, it's in your being.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you can be at rest and hold your nose and change diapers for the honor and glory of the Lord, and it brings glory to God.
Amen.
Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever thing we do. And so I'm telling you, even if you're a mom staying at home, changing diapers and cleaning up stuff, I want to tell you, you can do it as unto the Lord. You can do it from the throne room. And I want to tell you, when you do that, you are in victorious warfare.
Amen.
Victorious warfare. I'm just going to tell you this right quick. I don't have time to go through all the scripture, so I'm going to just try to tell you. But it's in Numbers 4. And it's a description of the Levites. And in the Old Testament, the Levites were the servants of the Lord. They were helpers in all kind of ways that needed to be helped. They were helpers. And they helped with the work of God. Now, this is something I learned from a rabbi. I didn't catch this personally, but I learned from a rabbi. And you know what? It fits. Because when I looked up the Hebrew word for service, it's painted with warfare. All the terminology is painted with warfare. He said this. I heard him say this. This rabbi, he said, those that served, those Levites that served, they were considered in warfare. Yeah. Wow. Now, I want to tell you, that blew my mind. That's pretty exciting. They had normal service duties that they did. And in this Numbers 4, and I'll just tell you this, it's speaking of three families in the Levites. And out of these three families, the guys between 30 and 50 years of age were to be numbered, and they were to serve in different areas of responsibilities having to do with the tabernacle and, you know, them relocating and everything. And so they were in charge of certain vessels or certain areas there. And so it was very, very important, and they had specific duties. And I want to tell you, if you look at their duties, none of them look exciting. Okay, you're in charge of these vessels. As a matter of fact, you can't even look at them till the priests get there. Priests got to come and cover these before you even look. But you're to come, and your job is to take them, watch over them, observe, watch over them, okay? Carry them, okay? And the next thing was to guard them. It specifically said for them to guard them. Isn't that interesting? And so these are Levites that have boring, what we would call boring responsibilities behind the scenes. And they've got these responsibilities. Some were in charge of major, some in minor. But all the things were important, whether they're big or small, because, you know, it's done unto the Lord. And their service, there was an understanding with the Levites that what they were doing was unto the Lord. Okay, and so what we would say in New Testament, it's for the master, it's under the master, it's for the master, no matter what it is. And you can do that even if you're changing diapers at home. I'm talking about your normal responsibilities when you are operating in the throne room mindset and doing it under the glory of God. I want to tell you, your normal responsibilities at work, if you're making widgets at works in a plastic factory, I mentioned that because I did that for a while, then I'm here to tell you, you can do that for the honor and glory of God. Okay, some people were behind the scenes, but in the service, when the scripture talks about in the service, these men in the service of the Lord, that word service describes warfare. And so their normal everyday responsibilities were considered warfare for God. Now, hey, you know what? That terminology has come down thousands of years. We use it today. Remember, your daughter here? You know what? She's in the service. We use that term. Now, we all know what we mean when we say Teresa's in the service. She is serving in the military. And you know what? She's working on planes that pilots will get in and guard our country. Okay? But her part is behind the scenes. She's not in the pilot seat. She's operating and maintaining and working on the planes so that they can go do what they do. And so she's like a Levite. She's like a Christian that's not in front of the group. That's behind the scene. taking care of the stuff. She's like a Christian that's at home where nobody sees, nobody's clapping, nobody's celebrating, but the Lord sees, and she's doing it as unto the Lord. Or you're at work and you're surrounded by heathen, okay, but you're doing what you're doing as unto the Lord. Hey, with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise, and you're practicing the throne room, and any disturbance or any trespassing that tries to come upon you from that job, you're taking a stand against it in the spiritual realm. You see what I'm saying? Bible considers that warfare. And so your part's an important part. Okay? And so that's Numbers chapter 4. I probably don't need to go into any more of that right now. But they had this attitude that what they were doing was a holy service to the Lord. And we like holy days, don't we? Holy days, because it's a special. But their work was special. Your work's special. And it is noticed. And it does have impact. And let me say that your warfare, right where you're at, fulfilling your normal, everyday responsibilities as unto the Lord, victory mindset, I want to tell you, it's warfare. You're enhancing and multiplying the kingdom of God right where you are. And I could prove that to you because, you know, you go through life and there will be somebody walk up to you that's in disturbance. Well, you notice that the peace, your peace is in warfare. Am I right? And sometimes you don't get any peace till they leave, okay? But there can be other people that show up in your journey every day that's walking in peace, and they come into your area, and peace is multiplied. Do you see? And so I'm telling you, this is all very, very important, and the Bible tells us to serve the Lord with gladness, and it doesn't mean that every time you're doing everything that you're on your tiptoes or got a chill bump, but that in your heart you're doing it as an honor to the Lord. I want to tell you, it's just very, very important. If you can't serve the Lord with gladness over a period of time, you need to be served by the Master before you serve. There's a lot of things I could say about that, but I won't. That's for another time, apparently. Okay. I know that even though these Levites, they were fulfilling their normal role fulfillment, and their warfare was not sword swinging. Okay? It wasn't in the lights. It wasn't in front of people. But their normal role fulfillment, just like yours, I'm telling you, you love God, you're serving the Lord with gladness, thanksgiving, you're doing it with His love, it's warfare against the enemy. And the emphasis that I'm trying to show you with this service is that they were not in warfare against, they were not wrestling with the enemy. Okay? There was even instructions for the Israelites, I don't have time to go there, there was instructions for the Israelites not to even mention other gods' names.
Amen. That's true.
Wow. Okay. I've been in meetings, and you have too, where that in some places, you know, it'd be a little struggle in the service, and people get up and stop everything, and we're just going to do battle against Satan, and Satan this, Satan that, and we warfare against Satan in order to get into a service. And I'll never forget the pastor that turned to me one time and said, "How do you want to handle this warfare?" And I said, "Well, we need to praise, give praise and thanksgiving." You see that? Because that's where our rest is. That's where the throne room is. Is in praise and thanksgiving. I want to tell you, praise and thanksgiving is a weapon.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, when we begin to see Jesus, see, and uplift Jesus, and give praise and thanksgiving to Jesus, that's allergic to the enemy. He was a praise leader at one time. He hates praise and thanksgiving, and he scootles on out of there. But I want to tell you, it was a big difference in the service to focus on the Lord and not on the enemy. There is a time to resist. But I kind of like to explain it like this. It's like you're having a birthday party at your house. And, you know, even in the midst of a birthday day, for the birthday person, the little kid can just absolutely misbehave. And so our journey is a journey of continual thanksgiving and praise. And you know what? When you run across something that's trespassing, you know what you do? You know what you do with the little one? Hey, you don't cancel the party. I say that because we had some parents that did that one time. We've canceled this party because he's misbehaving. Oh, man, that just hurt me bad. That's just so wrong. But what you do is this, is you take the little one and you pull them aside and you deal with them. Hey, we're not going to do that, okay? We can't be that way even on your birthday, because we need to love on other people, and we can't be selfish even on your birthday. So let's include everybody, okay? And don't be grabbing all the stuff and telling them to share, because we're sharing, okay? And so you know what you do? You pull it aside, deal with it, and then you continue to celebrate. That's what we do when you come across the enemy. Okay? You know what? You practice the throne room, the victory, all things are under your feet. You deal with it, and then you get right on back into praise and thanksgiving and enjoying the journey.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's probably more to that I need to share, but that's what we get today. And I think that could help you. So James 4:7 says this. Be subject to God. That's get in the position of rest. Practice being still and knowing that it's God. Practice submitting and yielding, humbling yourself before Him. And then you resist the mountain. You speak to the mountain. You resist the mountain or the lying fig tree or the demon or whatever's shown up that's trespassing the situation. You resist the situation, the devil, and he will flee from you. That is victory. That's from victory. So, let's tune into the Lord's channel. That's the victory channel. And not the WWF channel. The wrestling channel. Okay? Look. I played ball, and I love contact sports, and I can watch football and be at peace. But I'll tell you what, that professional fighting league, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. I can't watch that. Because I sat down there, and I start getting worked up, man. I start getting worked up, man. I start gritting my teeth, and I start flexing what muscle I got left, and this intensity begins to rise up within me. Now, I want to tell you, I'm a whole lot better watching Barney. And I'm talking Barney 5, not the purple guy. I'm a whole lot better watching Barney and Andy than I am the MMF or whatever it is. MMA. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying, Christian?
Oh, yeah.
Let's get on the Jesus channel. Okay? Deal with the enemy, but don't park there. You don't have to make a study of it. Study Jesus.
Amen.
Operate out of Jesus. So, when you rest in the finished forgiveness of Christ, it means you don't live sin-focused. You live Savior-focused. Big difference. And the Holy Spirit, as you walk, the Holy Spirit will whisper to you that He loves you and that you're a favored one. You're a beloved. You know, that's what beloved means. You're a favored one. And you know what? You enjoy it, and you hug Him back, and you enjoy love life with the Lord. It's not a pride thing, you know. It's enjoying the favor that's been won for you by Jesus. But, you know, this hit me the other day. You know, the most strategic timing, it's always protocol to enjoy the love life of the Lord, but some of the most strategic timing to enjoy fellowship with the Lord and the gift of righteousness is when you've blown it. Am I right, Pastor? We tend to, when we blow it, oh, I got to run from God a while. Woo, don't want to face Him. Oh, He's mad at me, you know. No. That's not victory mindset. That's not the gift of righteousness. You know what you do? Hey, you don't run from Him, you run to Him. The prime strategic timing of reaffirming that we are saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus, and not our goody goodness is when we've blown it. Because I want to tell you, we probably blew it anyway because we forgot who we were in Christ. And so the timing, when the Holy Spirit shows you, woo, you blew that one. You say, whoa, wait, Time out. Okay. You know what? The precious blood of Jesus has forgiven me. And I receive the forgiveness of the Lord. I repent of my stupidity, my selfishness, whatever that was. I lay that before the Lord. I receive the gift of righteousness because He won it for me. I receive the precious blood of Jesus that has forgiven me of all my sins. And so, hey, look, that me that operated in stupidity, that wasn't the real me. The real me is the gift of righteousness. The real me is the one walking in the blessing and the grace of God. And so I renounce that and I receive this. And give your allegiance to what the Word says. No matter how you feel. Because your feeling will catch up to truth. Okay? Now, I'm going to rush to say this. The throne room is your real identity. This is what Bible says about you. And so it's true. Okay? The throne room is your real identity. The devil is a liar. And he comes along with a fake ID, Pastor. He comes along with a fake ID. And he says, this is the real you. And, you know, we'll go, oh, yeah, give it here. That's me. And it's a fake ID. But when you identify with a lie, you act like the lie.
Yeah, you do.
You know what we're to do when the enemy comes up to you and tries to give you a fake ID, a lying ID, and he tries to say, you know, you're no good, you're sorry, got tired of forgiving you. You've done that one so much. Got tired of forgiving you. When you come up with a lie like that or condemnation or fear or whatever it is, when he comes up to you with that fake ID and say, here, this is you right here, you know what? You need to tell him, hey, wait. I lay that at the feet of Jesus. I ain't taking that. That goes to Jesus because this fake ID is under his feet. And he said, there is therefore now no fake ID in me. Because he's paid for me to be in the truth of who he is. And so we lay it at his feet and we get up in the throne beside him and we practice throne room. Because that's our true identity. We're a joint heir with Jesus. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. We're complete in Jesus. There's a power source within us which is able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That's Jesus. Not Tim. That's Jesus. So, it's very, very important. He's a thief. He wants to steal from you what Jesus paid for you to have. He's a thief. Jesus said, watch out for him. He come to steal and to kill and destroy. But I've come that you might have life. And have life more abundantly. That's what he paid for. He paid for your everlasting life. He paid for your abundant life. He paid for all the riches of his grace that we don't even know what all they are. But what a journey and exciting time to get to learn them is on this journey. Because it brings them honor and glory. And we become the display of the richness of his grace and his love to the world. It brings them honor and glory. And so that's why we're here. Let's bring him honor and glory today. I want us to take a few moments. And I want us to listen to the Lord. And this is not to be anything about, you know, we can think up things. I'm not asking you to think up something. I'm asking you to tune in and listen to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit gives you something that you need to place under his feet. Because he said, we're joint heirs. And if it's under his feet, it's under our feet. If the enemy's giving you a fake ID, a lying ID, you need to come and present that to the Lord. And you know what? We've got these little boxes set up here. Condemnation, sickness, fear, heartbreak. That's some of the descriptions. And you know, just by faith, you may need to come and practice with your body what you believe in your heart. Put it into action and come and just sit for a moment. Put your feet up. It don't matter which one it is. It's a picture. Okay. The reality is in heaven. And Jesus said that we are joint heirs with him. We've been seated in heavenly places with him. This is Bible. This is not something I've made up. This is the real reality, the greater reality. But you know, we can practice today and leave from here and practice tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And you know what? I'm just trying to show you, see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you see his works active. We're not talking about putting a man up there, are we?
No.
We're not talking about putting something else up there. We're talking about putting Jesus up there. Esteem the Lord, and everything else is disesteemed. Okay? I love you. I'm praying for you right now. Why don't we begin to come and just practice? If you need prayer, be people up here to pray for you. And I am for you. The Lord's for you. He's worked this out for your favor. And so let's practice doing what the Lord has shown us in our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, we just dedicate this time to you. Thank you for these precious ones that are here. And Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus for you to come and show yourself mighty and personal in our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that you paid the price for this to be personal and corporate. And so, Lord, I pray for the individuals here. I pray for the families here. I pray for our church here and the universal church that's listening in. And Lord, we just claim that, you know, Lord, that we can reflect your glory. Lord Jesus, that we can display to the world the reality of who you are in us. And Lord, I just release that our eyes be open to see Jesus today and to respond to Jesus and let Jesus be Jesus in us. We claim your victory. We claim the victory that you won for us. And Lord, we want to see it. We want to cultivate it. Lord, we want to operate in it. We want to guard it. And I give you glory today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are and what you're doing in this moment in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.